Technorama episode 659, year-end blowout. Everything must go, go, go. Hey, welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, thank you. Thank you very much. It's the end of 2021. Where have you been?
Thank God.
Yeah. And if you're returning, it's the end of 2021. What are you doing?
If you've been in a coma and you just woke up, guess what? It's the end of 2021.
If you've been listening this whole time, I got a resolution for you, something to stop doing. I'm just kidding. I'm Chuck Tomasi from sunny Phoenix, Arizona, and joining me right there across the table in that camera, the circle I'm staring into, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing good. I'm good. I'm doing really well. Finally, I don't know. I'm kind of I feel good because I don't have any meetings for the last couple of weeks during at work.
Wasn't that liberating just watching everybody cancel things for the next couple of weeks? Like, yeah. I honestly don't have we work 2 days this week, Tuesday and Wednesday, and I don't really have a lot to do.
No, I don't either. But since I'm the only one in my shop, so to speak, I'm still going to be keeping an eye on stuff, but I don't really have much to do. So I'm actually taking the time to do some cleanup work, some house cleaning, that kind of, so to speak, work-wise and my own data, so to speak, that kind of thing, trying to get organized. So when we start the new year, we'll start off fresh.
That's what I'm doing too, is just hitting some of those things that were low priorities that I'll get to them someday. This is the someday's to get those done. Yeah. Doing kind of the same thing around the house too. We finally painted the other half of the studio. So the last of the browns and golds and red colors in this house are gone.
So, oh, good.
Donna helped with painting the inside of the, well, there is only an inside. There's no outside to a closet, but the closet. She painted the closet, gave it the first coat and a half, and then I came in with the trim. And I think it took us 3 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, to finish that all up. In total, probably about 15 hours, maybe 16 between the two of us to do basically one bedroom. And I said, now you know why I paid to have professionals paint the whole rest of the house, because that would have been like a 2-year epic.
Well, you know, when you pay somebody to do, especially painting, it's one of those situations where I don't have all the drop cloths and all the materials yet. Somebody will roll in here with all that stuff and was able to get started and knock it out in no time flat. Plus they got little tips and tricks, because that's what they do, so I'm willing to do it, but at the same time you will save yourself a lot of headache paying for somebody if you can.
Comes down to what's your time worth. And what's the stress on your marriage worth.
Well, nobody else thinks my time is worth what I think it is.
Did you have a nice Christmas?
I did, actually. Really didn't do a whole lot. As a matter of fact,
well, you just got back from a vacation. Was that your Christmas present?
Yeah, it was a little bit, because Harrison's home. He's been off at school, so he's home. We've all got a little bit of downtime, so we took a week and went to the Bahamas, which was a little bit nerve wracking for me, just a little bit, because I was, I was thinking COVID and all that. But we were at the Atlantis, and everybody had masks. There was you could probably take a swim in all the hand sanitizers that were floating around. My hands didn't appreciate it as much as I did. I just wanted to make sure they weren't going to change the travel rules or something before we came home. That's what I was worried about, but it wasn't an issue. What was kind of weird, as a side note, is, okay, I knew we had to take a test, a COVID test, before we flew home. 24 hours before we flew home. That was the rule. No problem. As soon as we got there, we scheduled it, and they did it on premise at the Atlantis. Well, we went and got it. We went to get our boarding pass at the airport, and the lady's like, oh, I see that all three of you have your negative COVID test. And we're like, okay. I was worried about printing them out and make sure I had them to show her, but they were already there and, I guess, collated with our accounts. I don't know how that works.
Did you provide any information to say this is the flight I'm on? Or
no.
How did they get that information?
They just, maybe we told them that we were flying home, but I don't remember ever putting my flight number on there.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah. Well, it was convenient and creepy, but yeah. So we had them all on our phone. At least we were going to show it. I just didn't have an easy way to print it out. I could have printed it probably somewhere in the hotel, but or in the resort. But anyway, it wasn't an issue, and we were on the plane and no problem. So that was good.
We got a trip coming up at the end of February. We're going to have to face the same thing. I'm a little nervous because I had to have a COVID test in September before I had a medical procedure done, and it took 48 hours to turn around. So apparently they've gotten faster at this because the trip we're going on says you must have a negative test within the last 24 hours. And we're right. going to be arriving in Florida like a day early. So we have to have our test down there before.
Yep. Like, and
what?
And do you know, I think that won't be a problem for you. You know what we did? On the way out, it was a couple days. I think it was a couple days before we actually flew. No, was it? Oh, I'm sorry. It was also 24 hours. We just went through the drive-thru at Walgreens, and they did it in the drive-thru and emailed us our results. Done.
Little robotic arm comes out and sticks a stick up your nose.
Yeah. No, it was kind of funny. She was sitting on the side of the glass, of course, and watched us swab both and put it back in the little tube and give it back to her. And then really within an hour or two, we got our results back.
Okay. So they've gotten the testing faster. Good. Good, good, good. Do you get any toys?
For Christmas or from the Bahamas?
Either?
Well, I didn't really bring anything back from the Bahamas. You know, who needs I need another shirt, like another head and hole in my head.
Hey, if I don't come back from a trip with a shirt or a hat, I feel disappointed.
I just went to have a good time, and that's what I did.
Good,
so
good.
Pictures. I do take pictures, so I took a lot of pictures.
There you go. You got something.
Yeah. But no, I didn't really get anything. For Christmas, it's kind of like if I need something or want something, I kind of get it. My wife does too. So
did you get anything from ServiceNow? Any boxes or packages recently?
My paycheck.
I've been getting random stuff, and I don't know who it's from or why.
Huh.
I
must be nice.
I got, I feel guilty sometimes. I got a box that had a thermos in it and a blanket. Mm-hmm. And have you seen these cocoa bombs? They're like chocolate spheres, and you pour hot milk over them, and they melt in your cup, and you get hot cocoa.
Yeah.
I got a couple of those. I don't know why. Is this my is it the marketing department? Is it my team? Is it someone thanking me for being on the ServiceNow user group broadcast earlier in the month? I don't know. I got that. I got another one. I got a bathrobe. I got a ServiceNow bathrobe now.
A bathrobe. ServiceNow has you covered.
It's literally. I can just imagine where that's going to appear. Like, oh, should I wear that on the keynote stage next spring? I don't know.
You just need some slippers?
I got it.
And a toothbrush?
It came with slippers. They don't say ServiceNow, but it came with slippers.
Are they green like the ones you wear at the...
It's white and white and white. Just the ServiceNow logo is on there. I got an insulated cooler bag. You know, it looks kind of like a big beach bag, but it's got a thin layer of foam around it so it can keep food hot or cold.
Okay.
Handy. I don't know when I'm going to use it. At this point, I feel like I'm just getting more stuff in the house. I mean, I'm very much appreciated, but I'm looking at it going, this is stuff. Maybe I should re-gift some of this.
Yeah, that's right. Well, speaking of stuff, you know, and year end and start of a new year, I've actually started looking at my stuff. I got a whole closet full of stuff over here, and I'm thinking it's time to start reducing some of that stuff.
Pull it out.
I've got a bunch of
sort it out and whatever.
I got a bunch of adapters and cables that, quite frankly, I'm not going to use, but it will be like an edge case I might need one day, kind of thing. And I need to get rid of it.
I just did that when we painted the closet on this side of the studio. I pulled out all the cables and I was sorting my USBs because they were all in one box. I said, USB. And there were A's and B's and minis. And it was like, so I sorted them out and I've got those nicely sorted. And then I went to the video cable box and I had HDMIs and DVIs and adapters. And I said, you know what? I'm pretty much HDMI only now. And somewhere in the process, I know I chucked out the DVI cables. But I swear I kept the HDMI to DVI adapters because I have two more monitors that have DVI only on them. Couldn't right. find them. Couldn't find them. And then what I did in the studio is I put a tripod. You know what those big stands that music amps sit on? You know, tripod with single pole. Well, when I was in Santa Clara earlier this month, they had a monitor clamped to one of those right in front of the camera. I said, I like that. That is a great teleprompter. So to do that, I went and bought a music stand, and then I bought a new monitor arm. So now when I wheel my little AV cart in front of the table, I got two monitors instead of one. So I'm just kind of repurposing existing stuff in the studio with the addition of the monitor arms and that amp stand.
Right.
Well, the two monitors on the AV cart are DVI only, and I can't find my DVI to HDMI adapters. I had to go buy a couple more.
Did you get rid of them?
I think I did. So don't get over... Lesson is don't get overzealous in getting rid of things. Unless, you know, I absolutely have no use for this anymore, then, you know, get rid of it or e-cycle it or do the responsible thing.
You know, things like universal power cables, I'll keep some of those. Things like that, HDMI cables. But there, I can tell you right now, in my video box, which is really, I should show you sometime. I got a stack of six cat litter boxes.
Right.
The plastic ones, I put them on the side and I use them as a storage bin. But in the video one, there's a couple, I know there's a few of these weird cables that came with like a video recorder or something where it's like a semicircle, some weird thing. I will never ever use it.
How many S video cables do you still need?
Yeah.
John Miller Jr. says, keep everything. No. That's a sure way to endanger your marriage.
I need to pare it down, really. Yeah. I've got a couple microphone, well, things like that, but I'll keep a few relevant audio cables. And yeah, a lot of that stuff just needs to go. I haven't touched it in years, you know, so.
Yeah, anyway. I got a few nice things from the kids. We, you know, Julie, Lisa and Grantis got us some sweet chocolate treats. Lots of chocolate. A lot of chocolate this year. One of them is just in this Russian box. Okay. I can't read it, but it tastes really good. They got us a nice puzzle to put together, a jigsaw puzzle. And just nice stuff. Letters and cards from a lot of people, like you said earlier. So it...
Hey.
Yeah.
Are y'all starting to do puzzles?
Oh, Donna's been doing puzzles for years.
Oh. Well, what's funny is I don't know why Kim and I started doing, especially in our mountain house, really to do something other than watch something on TV or mess around with the phone, you know, just sit there and put a puzzle together. And we got like several of them. As a matter of fact, I got one from work. It's a puzzle from work. I was thinking, okay, you know, I just haven't done a lot of puzzles in the past, but we're starting to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I know another guy, one of my old friends, he actually made a puzzle stand. He was showing me. He's like, I don't know why I started doing puzzles again. I thought it was kind of weird that, and then you mentioned a puzzle. It's like they're starting to come back or something. I don't know. I'm seeing a trend.
I did get a gift from Crazy Joe Fiore. Did I tell you about that?
I think I know what it is.
It was one of these things that, you know, I wasn't on his shopping list until he saw this gift.
Okay. Yes. I think I know what it is.
It's the awkward hugs game.
I got one too. He sent me the same thing. Oh, that's funny.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah. This is the first time we've talked since I got, or really talked since I got that.
Guess what we're bringing to Dragon Con?
Yeah. Right. Oh my gosh. I saw that. At first, actually, the reason I hadn't said anything is because it was addressed to Kim and I. And I was like, okay, Kim wasn't around. We were going to go on our trip. So I held on to it. I wasn't going to open it until she was there with me. And then, of course, we opened it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is hilarious.
Did you read the simple instructions on the back?
I took it to the mountain house. We're going to use it up there.
Oh, okay.
I haven't opened it.
It's, it says something like, player picks two people to hug. You put on these belts and you're somehow connected. And then they ask awkward questions. And at some point you've answered enough awkward questions, you get released.
Like, I see.
That's the rules? I hope there's better instructions inside. Well, we have been going on and we haven't even really started the show yet. Should we do a podcast here tonight?
Well, I don't know. I'm just, to be honest with you, I got some stories in here, but I'm just enjoying just talking.
Let's at least cover our question of the week. How's that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
With that music?
Well, it's the feedback question. This is...
That's the marching band for On This Day.
Is that the history? Wow, you miss a week and with you're not going out in that music, are you? Yeah. There, how's that? Better? I'll call the production team tomorrow. Oh, wait, they're off.
Yeah, they're always off.
Our question of the week. I'm not even going to wait for the singers to finish singing.
That's right.
Our question of the week was, what are you looking forward to next year? And you get bonus points if it's not a pandemic-related answer. So I'm going to start with mine because I don't think I answered this last time. Apologies if I did. I'm looking to just being in person with more people. Hopefully we'll get this COVID thing under control a little bit better. And my full answer is singing karaoke in person at the Star Trek cruise, Dragon Con, our next work conference. So looking forward to having fun with other people in person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, that's kind of my same thing as and as far as family goes, they've been coming to the house and stuff for Christmas and whatnot, but I do miss going on the trip, the vacation. I'll get on the plane.
Yep.
I oddly was a little nostalgic for doing that.
At first. Like, you remember, I'm standing in line.
I know.
Wearing a mask on an entire flight is not my idea of fun.
No, but I was thinking more of the going somewhere, you know, even to the office to go see coworkers. To be honest with you, I hadn't seen my boss in 2 years.
Amy says, woohoo, puzzles.
You know, what's going to happen is we're going to be in the office at the same time. We're going to walk by each other in the hall and not recognize each other.
I'm sure we will.
Hey, you should ask when you should go to the office with a frame. It looks like you're on a Zoom call. People will recognize you.
Bow tie.
Yeah.
All right. Steve London says, time with the family. K22, which is our same conference, Knowledge 22, better user stories.
Right.
Hey, good luck with that. More Technorama. Russia staying out of Ukraine. We have an election year next year, and I'm hoping for a clean debate where the politician actually talk about what they want to achieve instead of how bad things will be if I don't write them. But that's impossible, so I hope the world peace and end starvation. Wow. He's got high hopes next year.
I know. I'm getting tired of politics. I'm way past politics. Let's put it that way. I'm tired of it.
If you want to watch something funny, I'm a little bit more than halfway through it. Then we had to come in here to do the podcast. Don't Look Up on Netflix. I was going to save this for the Pass Me the Remote. Yeah. Oh yeah. My gosh. It's about a comet that's heading for Earth to destroy it. And the scientists are going, Hey, you know, it's going to hit the Earth. And the politicians are going, they're trying to spin it. It's like, no, this is a planet killer headed our way. And Jennifer Lawrence and Leonardo DiCaprio and Meryl Streep are in it. A lot of big names, and they do a great job. It has funny all over it, you know, for something that's supposed to be catastrophic. At first, you think, oh my goodness, we're not watching another Armageddon, are we? Ron Perlman is in it. He does a very funny part, too. So, yeah.
Actually, it's on my list. Something I wanted to see.
Yeah, I recommend it. It's a lot of fun. It's just a great escape. And the reason I brought it up is because there are a lot of close parallels to COVID and the way that science is perceived and the way the politicians are approaching it. And but from a humorous standpoint, you'll go, I get it now. Let's keep going on.
It's probably not far from the truth, to be honest with you.
I would agree. Let's keep going with the answers. Are you looking at the Technorama question of the week page?
I am.
Okay.
I am.
What are you seeing?
Mike Robeson says, not seeing a new Princess Bride or Pern series related anything. What?
I hadn't heard about the Princess Bride. Yeah, is somebody remaking Princess Bride?
Yeah, even Steve London said, is there an old Princess Bride related? I don't know.
Lone Guy's Nice is finally using the gift cards I have before they expire. Ouch. Right.
Gary Lindros says a new cosplay.
And the next George R.R. Martin book. Well, you know, he certainly had enough time to write it.
I was going to say, I think the world's been waiting on that for 10, 15 years already.
A new cosplay. Oh, makes me wonder what he's up to.
Well, remember he was, I don't know if you saw the other day, he was doing the, I don't know if you saw it, but there was a musical in Hawkeye about Steve Rogers.
I am way behind in my Marvel stuff because I do not have Disney Plus.
Well, it's Hawkeye is in with his daughter and his family watching a musical about the Avengers. You know, and there's a guy that looks like Tony Stark, and there's a guy that's painted green to look like the Hulk, and they're all doing the, you know,
oh boy,
off Broadway kind of stuff.
Sort of like Hamilton's anyway. Not a documentary. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
No. So, Gary was wearing the red jacket with the Captain America shirt, like he was in the in the musical. I went, okay. I said, I see. I told Gary, I said, I feel like this requires a TikTok video, you know, where Gary's doing the.
Amy says, yep, looking forward to seeing that too, Gary. I hope you have a new cosplay as well. All right. Amy's working on something too.
Amy's always working on something.
Well, she's got to have content for Thread Snippings podcast.
Yeah. I know, right? Yeah.
Let's conclude the feedback. We'll ask you another question at the end of the show. Now can I play the history music?
Sure.
All right. One man operation on this end. Lighting, camera, sound. Sound action. Effects, everything else. On this day in history, for December 29, 2021, this is the 363rd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. Guess how many days are left? Two days left in 2021. And then we start the countdown again. All right, it was on this date in 1860 that the launch of the HMS Warrior, with her combination of screw propeller, iron hull, and iron armor, rendered all previous warships obsolete. 1860. Yeah, I went on a page. There's like an HMS Warrior.UK or something. There is a page on this ship, and it is in need of restoration again. So check it out. It's a fascinating ship.
I like how that renders everything obsolete, yet it can't be everywhere at the same time.
All previous warships. Because until then, they had wooden hulls and some sails. I mean, it looked like something straight out of, Star Trek Generations.
Right.
Anyway, go on to the next one.
All right. It was 108 years ago today that Cecil B. DeMille.
Cecil B. DeMille. You got to know your movie stuff, man.
I know. That's what Cecil B. DeMille started filming Hollywood's first feature film, The Squaw Man.
Is that a contradiction of terms, or was he like one of the first trans people? I don't know what was going on there.
I don't know.
It was on this date in 1949 that KC2XAK of Bridgeport, Connecticut became the first ultra-high frequency or UHF television station to operate a daily schedule. And
Weird Al was in charge of it.
I was inhaling while that sentence came out of your mouth. That was exactly what I was going to say. We've been working together way too long, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, you know what would be great on this show? More poodles. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Stanley Spakowski's Playhouse, whatever it was. Happy birthday goes out in the state to Scottish chemist and inventor of the waterproof fabric, Charles McIntosh, born on this date in 1766.
Who in turn had something to do with the Macintosh computer.
Was he born in Wellington? No, wait, that's where Wellies come from. Go on.
So Johann Christian Poggendorf, the German physicist and journalist, was born 225 years ago today.
You nailed that name. Good job.
Poggendorf.
Born December 29th, 1800, American chemist and engineer, Charles Goodyear. Gosh, what do you think he came up with? Calendars. You're right.
Firestone.
Your turn.
I know. Dutch-French mathematician and academic Thomas Johannes. Stieltjes. You say it.
I believe it's Stieltjes.
Stieltjes, that's close enough. Was born 165 years ago today. And incidentally, he's old enough and gone, though he's not going to care how I pronounce it.
Yeah, but there's a number of other Dutch people I'm sure we offended. Who knows what we just called their mother.
Again?
Wait till we get to the Russians. Born December 29th, 1879, American general and pilot Billy Mitchell. So if you've ever flown into Milwaukee, that is Mitchell Airfield, named after Billy Mitchell. Oh. We actually had time when we were on our Packers trip to walk through the museum and read all about Billy Mitchell and that airport.
That's pretty cool. Also born on that same date in 1923, French mathematician and physicist Yvonne Croquet Brouillard.
We'll go with that. Yeah. Senegalese historian, anthropologist, and physicist Cheikh Anta Diop. Well, let me try that again. Cheikh Anta Diop was born 98 years ago today. I don't speak any Senegalese.
Hey, by the way, I started to say Yvonne Croquet Brouhat.
I don't think there's an R in her name anyway. Croquet is a food. But
Croquet Brouhat.
I think you can handle this next one, but the actress.
Are you sure?
Go for it.
Challenge accepted. American actress and producer Mary Tyler Moore was born on this date in 1936.
85 years old on December 29th. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Richard Crandall, the American physicist and computer scientist, was born 74 years ago today.
Also turning 74 today is American actor and producer and mathematician. I'm just kidding. Ted Danson.
He's dancing. No one ever told him to stop dancing. Also born on the same date in 1958, American colonel, engineer, and astronaut Nancy J. Curie. Listener birthdays for this week include December 31st with a couple of birthdays. Shadow Bird's mom. Happy birthday, Mrs. Bird.
That's right. Yeah, Mrs. Bird.
And December 31st, Mr. Sim, a.k.a. Jeremy from Winnipeg. January 3rd, our friend from... Does he still do his Command Line podcast?
Yes.
Thomas Gideon is still out there.
He's still started back up, I think.
Ooh, he's an old-timer like us then. All right, That takes care of it. I think the music is about to run out too, but we'll move on from there. Maybe? Let's see. Yeah, well, no, you're done. Bye. Wait. My spidey sense is tingling. It's going to be the end of the song. Yeah!
Yeah!
I wasn't even looking at the time.
Then they took a breath and started back up. Ba, 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 ba.
Ba, ba, ba.
Hey, by the way, the Command Line podcast, he mentioned he was going to start it back up. I don't see evidence that he has yet.
Amy says, did you know UK folks sometimes call a raincoat a Macintosh or a Mac? I never knew why until just now. Yes, I did know that it was short for Macintosh. And I recall that. And the wellies are the boots, the rubber boots.
Right.
Like if you go out and muck the pigs, you got to wear your wellies. And John Miller Jr. says, it was 200 years ago today that if you wait two centuries, it would be today. Wow. Thanks, Nostradamus.
Yeah. And you pronounced that correctly.
I'm going to block that user from YouTube that was putting in crazy comments. Okay.
Enough oh, wait, I want to see the crazy comment. What? Oh.
It was just one of those, you know, websites they want you to go through that something, something, something dot tech and the letters don't mean anything.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, no, you're not that's not happening on our show, right?
Good news, crybabies.
Well,
yeah, everything makes sense here.
I don't know if I would call this good news. Let's go through these stories because we've been at this show for almost a half hour and we haven't got to any stories till now.
I'll be honest with you. I haven't pre-read any of these.
Oh, good. This should be fun. I'm happy to do
guess what? It'll be like the previous 658 shows we've done.
Well, no, we started this about five shows ago, but we'll... No, or I could give you the overview and you could ask questions. How's
okay.
that?
Interview me. Yeah.
So from discovermagazine.com, we found out that in 2016, an anti-neutrino from very far away smashed into Antarctica and interacted with an electron and was detected. Why does this matter? Because there aren't very many antimatter anything anymore. See, when the universe was very young, there was almost the same number of matter and antimatter. There was slightly more matter, though, Because what happens, we know this from Star Trek, what happens when antimatter and matter interact? Pow.
Kablooey.
Yeah, lots of energy is released. So they all annihilated each other except for what was left over of the slightly more matter. If the balance had been the other way, we would have been an antimatter universe. But
why does this matter?
How do you, I mean, that's a bit like saying, wait a minute, you know, if you hold a map this way, it's upside down. Not really. It's all a matter of perspective. How do we know that we aren't the antimatter universe? It's just, you know, you got A's
and B's. You see how well that worked out in Star Trek?
No, that was the mirror universe. We're not just all going to sprout goatees.
Well,
so,
I've been working on mine.
Oh, that was fast.
Yeah.
So let me give you a quote out of here from the article. It says, more than 60 years ago, I love the way this is phrased, more than 60 years ago, future Nobel laureate Sheldon Glashow predicted that if an antineutrino, the antimatter answer to the nearly massless neutrino, collided with an electron, it could produce a cascade of other particles. This is known as the Glashow resonance phenomenon. And it is really hard to detect because an antineutrino needs about 1,000 times more energy than what's produced in the most powerful colliders on Earth. So they said, well, this would work a whole lot better in space. So they're looking at, there's a detector in Antarctica that picked up on this. But they said, maybe we could do some matter, antimatter, proton smashing stuff in space, and it would be a lot easier.
Safer.
So. Well, is it safer? Is there a danger of doing this at CERN? I don't know. I wouldn't stick my hand in front of anything.
I think we had a story about doing that. What would happen if you did? But no, I wouldn't do that.
Well, before the LHC went online, everybody's going, you're going to make a black hole and we're going to suck the Earth into it. And well, how do we know that didn't happen?
Yeah, we just while we were sleeping, it happened.
I'm not going to jump down that rabbit hole with you.
Well,
today.
I'm curious, what kind of equipment do they have on there to go, oh, look, you know, it's like on Star Trek, they're kind of scanning stuff around the ship all the time, you know, and they can detect that kind of stuff. But on Earth, I didn't know they would detect neutrinos. Yeah.
There's neutrinos, there's gravitational wave detectors, there's there's lots of detectors of very small and hard to define stuff. I'm not going to say cosmic rays and things.
Yeah, but like Antarctica, I mean, they would have that kind of equipment there.
Yeah, it's a great place to detect it because you're not getting a whole lot of pollution or vibrations or. It's a very isolated place. It's why is the Keck telescope on the top of
magnetic poles? You know, maybe it's
maybe. Yeah. I don't think neutrinos are not affected by magnetic fields, so it wouldn't be funneled in through.
No, I mean, why would that equipment would be there for maybe other things? I thought maybe because of the way the magnetic, you know what I'm saying?
I'm just wondering how rare these things are. If one happened to hit that little detector on the South Pole. How many others are out there that aren't being detected?
I think I'm detecting one now.
That's fine. Just take your meds and go back to sleep, Grandpa.
It was just lunch.
Anti-neutrino kicking back.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's also talk about the quietly successful year that NASA had. Oh, my gosh. Yes. This is great. So many things that NASA had going for it. The most recent of which is, of course, the launch, finally, of the James Webb Space Telescope.
Yeah, on Christmas.
Now, you may be thinking, we've already got the Hubble up there. What do we need James Webb for? Well, if you've been sleeping under an astronomical rock for the last 25 years, you would know that the Hubble is looking at visible light and ultraviolet, and James Webb is more in the infrared spectrum. Why do we care? Because if we look out into the universe, we can only see back to about 400 million years after the Big Bang in the visible and ultraviolet spectrum. Kind of run into this wall. Well, James Webb.
The Great Barrier, maybe?
No, it's not the Great Barrier of the universe. James Webb is going to peer back about another 200 million years further than that. So we should get some more answers to the origin of the universe, like when the first stars were starting to light up and the first galaxies were forming. Very cool stuff. That was launched on December 25th. I did go back and watch a few videos on that. Very interesting stuff. They also, of course, earlier in the year, February 18th, they had the Perseverance rover and the Ingenuity helicopter land on Mars. Very cool stuff. I think I said that. It's worth repeating, though. Also had the DART. I think we talked about this on the show. The double asteroid redirection test.
I'm looking forward to that.
Well, I'm not looking forward to an asteroid hitting us and then go, we better get this out there.
No, no, no. I'm looking forward to seeing this do its mission, which I think is in September.
They launched it on November 21st. And I don't see an actual mission.
I believe I read, because I went looking for it, and I thought it said in September it's supposed to do its job. So anyway, I'll follow up on that again and look. But I'm looking forward to seeing the results of that. I think it's pretty cool.
There was another mission that I completely missed. It was launched on October 16th of this year. Wow, this is kind of like our NASA's greatest hits of the year. I like this year in review.
They didn't even tell you.
It was the Lucy expedition. Mm-hmm. Now they're sending a satellite, They are sending a probe out to the Trojan asteroids of Jupiter. Now these are a group of asteroids that both lead and follow at a certain distance the orbit of Jupiter. So there's some ahead of the orbit and there's some behind the orbit, and they're always there. And it's going to take 12 years for this mission to reach the asteroid field. Wow. It's got to go around the sun and then around the sun again and then out to the leading Trojans. And then it swings around the sun again and goes to the other side to look at the trailing. It's like, who calculated this path? That's craziness.
I know. I could look at the diagram. It looks
exactly. That's what caught my eye. Like, what are we looking at? So Lucy, of course, was named after the spacecraft was named Lucy after the primordial Australopithecus fossil that represents one of humanity's oldest ancestors. You probably remember that.
I was thinking of the Beatles song, but
no, Super Rocket. We have the Ares V mission. This is supposed to be the successor to the Saturn V. So, hey, we're going back to the moon. This was proposed way back in 2004 when Shrek 2 was in the movie and George W. Bush was still president. He said, we're going to build a new rocket. Oh, and also what started in 2004 was our podcasting interest and ChuckChat.com was registered in 2004 as well. So if you want to go into the Wayback Machine, we're in there too in 2004. Mm-hmm. The Ares V was going along fine until Obama shelved it in about 2010, 2011. Mm-hmm. And then it was brought back. So we are starting to see life in that mission again. It went up for an unmanned mission. I'm trying to find the date on this. They now call it the SLS or the Space Launch System.
They need to work on their marketing.
They didn't reverse engineer any acronym for that one. So lots of other stuff. There were some other great triumphs like the Parker Solar Probe, OSIRIS-REx spacecraft, Juno spacecraft. Lots of good stuff. And as we head into 2022... We didn't even get into the Billionaires Club, so we're not going to.
I was going to say we got SpaceX.
NASA's victory.
No, but it's related because they do work with NASA, and so they've sent people to ISS. And I'm thinking beyond NASA. As far as space goes, the last year or so, I mean, SpaceX they landed their 100th rocket. You know, back on the barge, on land after a launch, which is amazing.
I got to tell you, though, next to what NASA's doing, these little 11-minute trips to the edge of space, they're a publicity stunt to me.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, of course. I think they are, too. But, SpaceX is actually putting people in in space. They're supposed to be sending people to the moon. And of course, Elon wants to get people on Mars. So, which I know what you think about that, but still, I like the ambition and I like the moonshot, you know, ideas. That's how you progress, right?
All right. Speaking of progressing, we're going to progress on to the next part where we give a shout out to the chat room. We've got a couple of people that have been joining us. We mentioned John Miller Jr. and Amy Bowen. Thank you very much for joining us. We do this show on Sunday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time on Facebook and YouTube. So you're welcome to join us, join in the chat, join in the conversation. Get your names up on the screen if you're watching that. If you watch it live or later, you can be part of that fun as well. So thank you very, very much. Let's get into Remember When. Bring that down. Put your volume back where it should have been. Wrong faders. Yay. Sorry.
Yeah. Wrong faders.
So we have found. Oh, I like this story.
This is cool. This is really cool.
CNN.com, a perfectly preserved. Hopefully the audio. There, I'm going to mute it because it's an autoplay video.
I hate that.
From Anderson Cooper on CNN. But scientists unearthed a giant dinosaur egg, an egg from a giant species previously unknown in the Australian outback. And that's not where you generally find a whole lot of dinosaur eggs or dinosaurs in general. This is a 70 million year old fossil that has the embryonic skeleton of some type of oviraptorid dinosaur that you can see the skeleton is all curled up inside the egg, which is about 7 inches long, or what was the size of that in centimeters again? 17 centimeters. So if the baby had hatched, it would have been about 27 centimeters or 11 inches long from head to tail.
Right.
And they did some modeling and rendering an artist's rendition of what this baby would have looked like. This is an oviraptor type of dinosaur, so it's the kind that gave genesis to today's modern birds. Two-legged claws, most likely
feathers. You can kind of see the beak in the skeleton.
Yeah, and in the artist rendering as well. It almost looks like a little bird, but I'm not going to mess with that little bird because it'll probably eat off your hand.
Yeah. Oh, cute little bird.
So the name of the dinosaur, where is it? They nicknamed it Cooper, but it had a crazy long name.
That's why Anderson Cooper was talking to the guy.
He said, I would have, on his little interview, he said, I would have just loved it anyway if it had, I would have been talking to you anyway because I like dinosaur stuff.
Right.
Oh, I can't find the name of this. Where'd it go? No, never mind. Maybe it wasn't in here. Maybe I read it in another article.
You know, I tell you what's really amazing is to think of all of the history that has come and gone
before
while
we got
this thing
here.
Just sat there. Yeah, while this thing just sat there. I mean, really, almost everything. Well, really, 70 million years? Yeah, I'd say about everything's come and gone.
No, there was, you're missing about 3.5 billion years before that.
I was thinking of all the modern or the history, written history or whatever we know.
Yep.
That's happened. I mean, all that's come and gone is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, this article you accidentally got in here like twice. One explicitly and one implicitly. So the first one is a Reddit link to a segment which many of you probably have already seen. It's
thought it was funny.
David Letterman talks to Bill Gates about the internet back in 1995. And Gates, of course, says it's going to be the next big thing. But he really couldn't explain it all that well. And it ties in with an article we've got coming up later. And Letterman said, what are some of the things you could do on the internet? And Gates says, well, you could listen to
look up pages and
a baseball game. And Letterman says, have you heard about radio? He said, well, you could listen to it later. You don't have to listen to it in real time like radio.
A podcast.
Have you heard about a tape recorder?
Yeah.
So it was interesting from the perspective of
a layperson.
You could see the potential, but it was hard to explain. And the other thing he didn't talk about was like the content creation that you and I are creating a radio show, a TV show right now, if you will, if you think about it in those terms. So the barrier of entry is negligible. Whereas before, if I wanted to be on the radio, there was a gatekeeper and we had to pitch this. And
yeah, we're proof that two idiots can do anything.
Yeah, the barrier of entry is really low, really low. But or that you could listen to a baseball game from Japan if you were in Japan and you wanted to listen. You know, that's what I did. I was listening to our Green Bay Packers game when I was in Germany. I was up at 2 in the morning and couldn't sleep because of jet lag. So I said, hey, wait a minute. I've got a football team that's playing football right now. And I tuned in and listened.
In this time frame, which he's talking about, it's like Real Player was kind of in the game of the internet a little bit, so to speak.
Yeah, a little I'm early just saying, for that, but yeah.
I'm just saying around that same time. And I remember listening to radio through Real Player, but it was coming from somewhere else, just like you were saying. And it was like, wow, you know, I can listen to a radio station from California here in South Carolina and just kind of get the wheels turning. That's what he missed when he said, oh, you can just listen to a ball game.
Well, he only had like 60 seconds to explain all this stuff anyway. Yeah. So, and at that time you didn't know what the full impact was going to be. Now it's easy to look back because hindsight's 20/20. But I remember trying to explain the internet to my parents about that time. I was like, what do you do with it? I would always start from the technical end and say, you know, it's a bunch of computers talking to other computers and people participating in that to facilitate a global conversation. Well, like what kind of conversations? And you could talk about community, and like Letterman did is you could be in a chat room with other lonely people with obscure hobbies. Which still exists, you know, that whole common interest thing now spans a global audience, which is kind of cool and kind of scary at the same time.
Well, I think for me, looking back, I was watching this with, you know, my 1985, 86 glasses on. I'm sorry, 95, 96 glasses on, trying to imagine hearing him explain it and kind of fit in myself in that and go, okay, that I could see. But he missed, like you said, the
content creation
from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Content creation from somewhere else. I'm listening to something from Germany and the whole thing about all of that we're talking about, even somebody in their basement with a certain specific interest is breaking down walls, which is what the internet, I think, was really good at. And go, oh, we can do this with the internet. Oh, we can do this with the internet. Remember, it kept piling on. And that was an exciting time at the end of the 90s.
He did mention electronic mail. But there wasn't anything in there about shopping, which, you know, I can't tell you how many Amazon orders I did in the last 2 weeks is a testament to the power of the internet.
Right. Yeah. So,
but it also gets into, you know, an article we've got, well, I'll just skip over it. It's in the media corner about the metaverse. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in that same position today, trying to imagine what the metaverse could be 20, 25 years from now. Yep. And we can't describe it because we don't have that. You know, some people have certain ideas. I don't think it's going to be everybody wearing VR goggles on their face 24/7. You know, because that would make for interesting problems.
Carry around, not just glasses. But you got to carry around something to.
And
maybe
Elon,
your phone. I don't know.
Elon Musk is saying, "Well, just put a chip in your head and use a Neuralink instead of like." Well, I don't think you're going to get a whole. You can barely get people to get vaccinated these days. Who's, you know, how many people are going to put chips in their heads?
I'm not doing that. Now, I mean, I find these kind of things fascinating, but at the same time, I'm not putting something in my head. You know,
come back in 25 years and listen to Technorama episode 659 and laugh at this and see what we thought.
Yeah, from your Neuralink, just rewind it in your head. Now, would you put something in your head like this to get online?
I'm going to be really old at that time. I'm probably going to need something in my head to just cope.
To bypass the Alzheimer's and the brain fog.
You know, if that's what it takes to cure the Alzheimer's or the Parkinson's or whatever, I'm up for it.
Well, that's a whole nother thing.
Amy doesn't want chips in her head yet either.
See, the thing about it, this to what are you going to use this for? To experience new things?
What, the metaverse?
Why don't you go travel somewhere? I don't know.
Because you can't. COVID.
it's the answer to COVID lockdowns. Okay.
No, I can see the potential. I was having this discussion with my parents mm-hmm. earlier today because we were on our weekly Zoom call and they were asking about the metaverse and whatnot. And I said, I can see the potential because right now, let's face it, Facebook and social media in general are getting beat up over bad PR. Really, Facebook was intended.
They brought it on themselves.
It was intended to bring people together and share common interests, and right. that kind of went in the wrong direction. It can. Yeah. It has some hazardous side effects if the agent, Facebook, Twitter, etc., doesn't have any control or moderate any of that content. So it's really easy. This is human nature. It's really easy for me to have an argument with you if we're just posting online, right? We're not meeting face to face. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I can lob grenades over that virtual wall. And so you can do the same. And we just escalate and we dig in our heels and we're not changing anybody's viewpoint, but we're just getting louder and bringing others to our cause, blah, 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 blah. But if you put those same two people in a room earlier in that escalation phase, hopefully, it humanizes it. It makes and if you can get them to walk in your shoes, it's really easy for me to say, hey, Craig, you know, you're a Democrat, I'm a Republican, or vice versa. You know, pick your mm-hmm. side of whatever coin you want to, and mm-hmm. and you've got one side and I've got the other. But if we start working together and I experience what you do, I see what you do, I've heard the stories that you do, suddenly my viewpoint becomes a lot more. Mm-hmm. Sympathetic, empathetic. I'm not sure which term I'm looking for exactly, but you understand where I'm going with this.
Could be either. Yeah.
And I go, hey, Craig, I get you. I may not agree with you, but at least I can have a respectable, yeah, let's agree to disagree. And we're going to be two different people. You know, the way you raise your kids, the way you, whatever it is that we're going to have a discussion on, we're going to have a differing opinions. But I think if we're both in our VR world, let's just say we have Oculus goggles on or whatnot, and we're looking at each other or each other's avatars, whatever mm-hmm. that happens to look like. And you say, you know, the reason I got into this in the first place was I was on a trip to, you know, so-and-so South Carolina. And here's what I saw that caused me to think that. And mm-hmm. I go, that's a valid point I hadn't considered before because I haven't right. been to so-and-so South Carolina and experienced sure. what you experienced. So now, you know, we can go, oh, I think it's got potential, but of course, you know, I'm a hopeless optimist about the human nature. So,
well, I would argue you should be traveling to expand your horizons anyway.
Not everybody's got the means to do that though.
Yeah, I get but
my parents can't travel anymore. They're too old. It's just it's a bother to get on the plane. You want to be pushed through an airport yeah. in a wheelchair or on one of those emergency carts that.
Oh, you know, so I agree with what you're saying. I get it. I'm just saying that I think people should not rely on technology to expand their horizons. Do it. Go take some initiative on your own and go do it. But there's been times I played around with the Google goggles, or Google goggles
glass,
little Google VR thing, or VR glasses in the past, and just played around with
your cardboard cutout thing.
Yeah, you know, just playing around, and you know, being able to go into Google had that museum, the museum thing where you could go take a tour in a museum. That was kind of cool to go through the Louvre or you know whatever it was. I was in England. Jumping around and going through that because it may be forever before I get there. So I don't
yeah,
know.
My experience to the museum in London, you know, with the pharaohs and whatnot, the mummies that are in there. I went in there and I said, "What is this doing in London? These belong in Egypt. These really don't belong here." I mean, this is just
all right, Andy.
This is well, it's a statement to imperialism is what it was like this. We need to reset the counter on this one, but you know, it's experiences like that. You're right. Traveling can really change your perspective. When we went over to Israel, I came back with a perception that I didn't think I would. I'm not going to air sure. it here because it's a bit controversial.
Well, I would say you know, reading, talking to other people, meeting people in person, yep. traveling, all those things you can do, and it doesn't have to break the bank. So I'm just saying there's a lot of options aside from technology to do that. However, I am excited to see what they want to do with the technology. I'm not happy. I'm not excited about Facebook being in charge of the technology for sure. You know, they haven't been good stewards with our data as it is. So,
yeah, and it kind of got out of control. Yeah, I'm willing to say that certain elements were not completely in their control. But on the same side, do you want to subscribe to a service that could completely have, you know, control what you say or don't say? I don't know. That's that's a tough argument we're not going to solve here. What I do want to do is,
hey, if we could solve that, we wouldn't be working where we're working now. Well,
yeah, that too. I do want to give a thank you to our patrons. This is our last chance in 2021 to thank you, because they have really held up their end of the bargain by supporting this show. I know we've lost a couple this year. They decided to cancel their patronage, which is always understandable. And we appreciate anyone who is interested in joining and supporting this show to go to patreon.com/technoramapodcast. There is a link in the show notes. There is a button on our webpage at chuckchat.com/technorama. We invite you, we encourage you to do so for as little as a dollar a show. Many people are giving $2. One gentleman who shall remain anonymous. All right, I'll give him a shout out at the right time. He's giving $1.01, which really throws our budget for a loop. So thank you, Alexis Duran, Amber Elstad. Thank you very much for the past year, and we look forward to the support going forward. Amy Bowen, who is joining us in the chat tonight. Avner Braverman, who has been there since day two or three.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Ben Vaughn, Brian Brown, Chris MC. We got to get Brian back on the show now that the studio reconstruction's all done. Chris MC, Dan DeMancoyer, another long-timer. Dean Jensen, Denise Inglis, Gary Lindros, John Clifford, John Noble, Jorga Schrauen. Jorga's another longtime supporter of the show. We've been doing this coming up on 6 years, and some of these people have been there for the full six. Thank you. Thank you very much. Kyle Nishioka is patron number one. That's what I remember. Leon and Mark Kilfoyle have been there a long time. Mike Wills, Mr. 101. Apparently, you don't have to go on even dollar increments, which was news to me when I saw that. Like,
why are we getting this odd number in our bank account?
Chris Martinez, Saturday Morning Media, Stephen Weshy, Steve Therian, Steve Cody, and Steve London. Thank you to these 24 people as of this date.
The Steves.
The Wall of Steve. Patreon.com. Oh, Craig, you're falling down on this. We got to get the banner up there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't think about
Brand that. Patreon. There we go.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Patreon.com/Technorama Podcast. We'll get this under control at some point. I don't know what you're doing while I'm reading names.
I'm contributing.
Colorful commentary at the least.
That's right. That's right. My mind's always working. Doing
something. Thank you, everybody. It has been our honor to bring you content. The show is for everybody. There is a special episode that Craig and I do for the Patreon people. We also send out postcards when we travel. We send out, I sent a thank you note to everybody from Patreon. So if you didn't get that, let me know, but it should have gone to everybody. I did get one response back. Craig, you probably saw that going, what is this in response to?
So, no, I knew you were doing that. Okay.
Very nice. Just, you know, our way of saying thank you, because you really take care of the bandwidth, the hosting costs. We just needed to increase our storage a little bit more to hold all of the old shows and the new ones.
Because you know everybody's listening to episode one.
I don't think we can find that one in the archives. Let's hope
actually,
not.
Actually, I think we're missing the first four, right? It's like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it might even be the early ones where I was just doing the show alone before you joined.
Wait. Wait, I just thought about something. Maybe we should go... Oh, that's right. You were doing you did a couple episodes, and then I jumped
I did
in.
Like four or six or something before.
I was gonna say maybe if we go back to the Wayback Machine, maybe it's on there.
I'll go look some other time. Let's
look
go
right now,
real quick.
I got nothing else to do.
Yeah, you get a podcast to do, knucklehead. We're at an hour, and we're gonna keep this short.
All right.
So I've got two
budget for the end of the year.
One on Hulu. If you haven't seen it, go watch A Christmas Carol from 2019. This is not the George C. Scott. This is not the Sir Patrick Stewart. This is freaking awesome. It is really not the letter for letter word dialogue right from Dickens. It is three ghosts visit him in the night. It is more around, it starts out as Marley's story, actually. And you understand why Marley came to warn Scrooge. It wasn't just, hey, you know, shape up or this will happen to you and you'll wear chains and be stuck like this forever. It was, we're stuck in this together. We were partners in life and we're partners in death. And I can't be free until you're free. Andy Serkis is in this as the Christmas, a Ghost of Christmas Past, does a marvelous job.
Pierce. Okay.
And it gets dark. You want to know why Scrooge is so messed up and a crotchety old SOB? This will explain it in full detail. You're like, wow. Oh man. Yeah. When he was sent away to school, it wasn't for the education.
Okay.
It gets into some, yeah. And what his sister had to do to, you know, she comes in and goes, oh, Lottie's here. She's taking me home. Oh yes. Everything's fine between father and me. He's like, no, that was a nice rosy color picture that Dickens painted, but this peels back the layers and goes, oh, what the? Yeah, it was a very, I love this. This is probably my favorite Christmas Carol ever. And, you know, I like it when people are true to the story. This gets a little deeper. So have fun with that. It's on Hulu. Originally was on FX. So wherever you can find that, it's the 2019 Christmas Carol. The other one that Donna and I caught the other night was called Being the Ricardos, which is a story about Desi Arnaz and Lucille Ball. She is not the ditz she played on TV. She's a very smart, very business forward woman. And so is Desi Arnaz. They sort of jump around a lot. The thing that threw me off at first is you see Ronnie Cox in here a bit. They have actors playing like the modern day versions. They're interviewing like the writers in the writer's room about their stories. You know, there was one time when Lucy came in and did blah, 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 blah. That's not the actual person. Ronnie Cox was not involved in writing for I Love Lucy back in the 50s, because he didn't graduate college till like 1963.
Oh, they have actors playing the writers.
Yes. As well. Yes.
Okay, I gotcha.
So it's actors all around. Obviously, Lucille Ball isn't in there, but they did a great job with the characters and the actors. And how much of this is actual factual, I don't know. It's a bit like I'm kind of taking it with the Bohemian Rhapsody medicine, going, yeah, it's based on the story, but they got a, I suspect there are a few facts that needed. What do they call it? Hollywood, if I, you know, kind of giving it the polish to make it a production, but it was very good. I enjoyed that very much. So what do you got?
All right. So I tried something a little different. I normally don't go for musicals, just not my style. The music kind of takes me out of the story a little bit. However, I do like Andrew Garfield and, coming fresh off of Spider-Man, which he was, you know, he was there. He did Tick, Tick, Boom on Netflix, and it's about Jonathan Lawson, who was a composer and lyricist for like Broadway kind of plays.
So not the Lawson that we've talked about on this show before that was a computer scientist guy or electronics guy?
No. Okay. No, so he's in New York. This guy's in New York. And he's writing a production, and it's – it didn't get produced. And so he's been working on it for like 8 years. And anyway, it's all about him, his interaction and his life. It's actually an a musical autobiographical film about himself, which he's telling the story about his life, how things happened, his friends and their lives, and how up to when he got his first show done, which was Rent. Which you probably heard of.
Mm-hmm.
So he did. He actually did Rent. Anyway, so it talks. It shows the whole thing. I really enjoyed it. Again, I don't do musicals, and for me to say I enjoyed it, I thought it was really good. It has to be pretty good. So I can recommend that. Tick, Tick, Boom on Netflix.
All right, I forgot to mention Being the Ricardos on Amazon as well. I like.
Yes.
That. forgot to close with the title in order to find it. Okay, that's our past the remote stuff. We already talked about the metaverse and the neural link in the, that we covered in the media corner, but if there's a there's a link in the show notes if you want to go to chuckchat.com/technorama episode 659 and read more about that. It's got a little quote from Elon Musk and whatnot. There's a couple things in the geek library real quick. One is a build that a gentleman did called Time Machine Radio, built out of a Raspberry Pi Zero, and he built it into this kind of rather small radio, and it's fun because instead of a radio tuner, he's just got it to like 10s, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and if you dial it into the 40s, for example, first you hear the TARDIS noise for about five seconds, like you're transporting through time and space, and then you hear content. I don't know where he's getting this content, but it's rather
He mentions it in the... somewhere in there, he mentions where it's at. Not the video, but
on the GitHub site?
Yeah, I think it's on the GitHub site. So he mentioned it.
If you want to build one, there's a GitHub repo out there from byte-rider/TARDIS-radio. So follow the links that we provide, and it's all out there. Nice little
This ought to be an inexpensive build. It ought to be fun to do.
I don't have a Pi Zero.
Those are not expensive.
No, but you could probably use an ordinary Pi to do this.
Oh, I'm sure. But he was using the Pi Zero because of the low cost. Let's see. Buy a Pi Zero. I'll tell you exactly how much it is.
while you're doing that, I'll tell him about the other one. It's two AIs talking about becoming human. Kind of an interesting conversation. The fascinating thing that I latched onto right away was there's a man and a woman, and the woman's name is Sophia, and he keeps calling her Safia.
I know. Oh man, these two AI bots, they go back and forth, and one's talking about how sex isn't important, and then he sounds like he's trying to talk her into sex. I was like, "What?"
until and he sounds more robotic than she does. She sounds very, very fluid, very natural, but his timing is off, and it's pretty funny to watch if you want to watch that. Okay, how much for a Pi Zero?
I don't think it didn't even show a price. They're not very expensive, but you can get a whole kit with the case and everything. Where's the?
Are you looking on?
It doesn't really show it on here.
Raspberry Pi Zero. Raspberry Pi Zero.
Go to Adafruit.
I'm going to Amazon. Oh yeah, there's the whole kit.
Raspberry Pi Zero. $5.
$2. Why do I see $48.99?
I don't know. It says Raspberry Pi Zero version 1.3. Oh, this
one.
Bucks.
This one has wireless and Bluetooth.
Yeah, and you start paying for that stuff. I don't know. There's a whole starter pack for $50, and it has all the the power and everything comes with it. So
nice little small form factor. All right.
Yeah, the Pi Zero is great. As a matter of fact, I was
fun Christmas.
We can talk about
kit.
This later. We can talk about this later. But I was, the Pi you gave me a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually turning it into a little NAS.
Really?
Yeah. So my only problem with it is I find myself going, well, I need a 2 gig SSD drive, but I'm having trouble parting with the money to buy a hard drive.
Hey, if you had a NAS and I had a NAS, we might be able to sync some of this content and free up our Google Cloud storage.
I can do that.
All right. Can do that. Something to think about. I'm still looking for a valid excuse to get a Pi 4, but I haven't found one yet. Every time I need a Pi, I'm like, I've got extra Pi 3s laying around that I could use.
Actually, right, I'll tell you this real quick, and then we can sign off. I was watching, too, oddly enough, a guy named Network Chuck. He does a YouTube channel, which I think he's got a really good personality for the things that he's talking about. It doesn't make it seem dry or anything. But one of his videos was making a NAS out of a Raspberry Pi 4 with 8 gigs. So it's a little bit pricier than some of the other options.
You mean 8 terabytes?
Eight gigs of memory.
Oh, okay. That's not much of a NAS with 8 gigs.
No. But you can, of course, just hook up an external drive to it. But I think the kit that he had was like, it was a couple $100, but it was an enclosed. We'll talk about that later. Anyway, so he took that Raspberry Pi 4, made it into a NAS, and also installed the Plex media server on it. So you can put movies in there and then just play them on your TV.
But I can do all that with my 3Bs here. You haven't convinced me I need a 4 to do that.
No, I think with the Plex media server, you want a little bit more oomph so it can re-encode for your TV as it's playing streaming.
Testimonial from John Miller Jr. likes Network Chuck.
Oh, he's been watching. Yeah, Network Chuck. He's great. Yeah, he's great. He's got a good good personality for that stuff.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. We do have, what was that, one more thing in there? Did I cover it everything? No, we got all that. Question of the week. It's time for question of the week, and then we're out of here. What was your highlight from 2021? So today's episode focused on what are you looking forward to. We're going to take a look back. What was your highlight from 2021? Do you have anything that comes to mind immediately, Craig?
Dragon Con. We had a great time.
That was a good time.
That was a good, that was a good one of those moments when break from the pandemic and we kind of had fun in person and it was great.
All was right with the world.
And my son hosting our D&D. He did a pretty good job with that.
He did. He did.
Yeah.
The I also want to throw in there that raising money for charity for our conference was a lot of fun. And a second raising money for charity, kind of helping someone else raise money for charity. The first one was in May for our CreatorCon conference. And I was having people subscribe to our channel and, you know, you get $5 or $10 donated for you. Nobody actually had to donate anything. We just had budget for how much activity we could generate. So it was all about subscribe to the newsletter, subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast. And then we'd count those up. And we raised like $4,000 for code.org while I was singing karaoke for 4 hours. So I think most people. So that was a lot of fun back in May. And then in September it was. We were working on the app in August. September, I wrote an app so other people could have a charity auction event, sort of like a mini eBay site where you place bids on certain charities. Like a blind auction thing.
You need to change it up. So pay for me to sing or pay for me to shut up. Which one is it?
Comedy routine? Do you want the cooking show? Do you want the karaoke? That's right. What is it? So that was a lot of fun. I'm very proud of what came out of 2021 in that way. Yeah, definitely Dragon Con was on the list. So that takes us to the end of the show where we play this music. And then we bring that music down. Well, we say, hey, if you want to get in touch with us, let us know what your highlight of 2021 was. You can post that on our Facebook page. We'll be putting out the social media question of the week probably next Saturday, which is January 1st. That's coming up quick. Yep. And we'll have that there for you. Or you can get in touch with us on the listener line, 707. That's your cue, Craig. Roll that comment banner.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? I got to get used to this. All right, I see. I'll Patreon. No.
I call, got it.
Oh, there it is.
I got it.
All right. Okay. I don't think about that. I can do that.
You're not in producer mode. All right. 707. Oh, that says the topic is Trek. That's not even the right show. Okay. 707-530-2428. Till we figure this out, give me a binary high five, Craig.
All right. 101. Bye, y'all.